Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining for part number three in a series on assisting or potentially sinful behavior. This is going to be a third brief share, just to do a quick review of what we've done until now. We began discussing the Mishnah in Shviyas. The Mishnah in Shviyas talks about the potential for helping someone who is going to violate Shviyas. The specific case is you have a neighbor who wants to borrow utensils from you, but they're going to use those utensils to either cook in a way which violates Shviyas or to guard something which violates Shviyas. And the question is, what are you allowed to do? And what are you not allowed to do? And what does Darchei Shalom, what does keeping the peace allow you to do? So very briefly, we discussed over the last few shiurim, different factors in this regard. What types of potential sins can you be involved with? Does it matter if the sin that the person you're assisting is going to commit potentially is a de'oraita or a de'rabanan? We discussed different factors such as how likely it has to be that they're going to do the sin. Does it matter if it's a significant possibility that they actually won't sin? They'll use the utensil to give them for a permissible purpose. How likely does it need to be? And we gave three different opinions about that. The consensus seems to be that you can participate even when you have an unlikely tliya, meaning it's unlikely that the possibility that they will actually use it for a permissible reason because of Darchei Shalom. Right, and that was the opinion of the Magen Avraham, who says that if you have a neighbor who doesn't keep Shabbos and they ask you, say, to borrow your kneading bowl, you can't knead on Shabbos. So if you have even a remote possibility that they may indeed use the kneading bowl for something that is permissible, and there is the factor of Darchei Shalom such that if you don't lend it to them, it will cause, you know, enmity or discord, then you are allowed to lend it to them. And we spoke last time about a few different considerations in this regard. In terms of, or different practical applications, giving food to someone who may not make a bracha, when are you allowed to do that? When you're not allowed to do that, seems the consensus is that you are allowed to do that. If it involves tzedakah and involves the mitzvah of giving to the poor. And we talked about a few other cases, such as lending out a mikvah for a non-Orthodox conversion and the problems of doing that, selling clothing that may contain shatnez, if the people that buy may not check for shatnez. So that was what we've done until now. Today, I want to talk about something a bit different, which also involves participating or it being associated with sinful behavior, but not physically, but rather verbally. Namely, in a case I mentioned happened to me, myself, but you're walking by someone on Shabbos, say for instance, and you happen to know they're Jewish, and they're out there mowing their lawn. What is the appropriate response in that situation? Do you greet them? Can you even say, good luck mowing your lawn? Or are you sort of required to sort of abstain and sort of walk by awkwardly? What is the appropriate response to that situation? Before we begin, any thoughts about this? What do you think? What do you think is the best thing to do?
I think you can say you missed a spot.
Don't say you missed a spot. Okay, yeah, that sounds not like a good idea. You can't directly tell them, mow over there. That would be bad. Yes, Chaim.
Recommend they get a goat instead.
Yeah, let's see. That sounds like a great practical consideration. Okay, so let's take a look here at the Mishnah, which we read, which has the following line in conclusion. It says, actually, this is a previous Mishnah. It says, in Shviyas Dal Gimel, Chochren Nirim Min HaAkum B'Shviyas, you are allowed to rent plowed fields from a non-Jew during Shemitah. Without getting into the specifics of this, most Mepharshim explain that this is talking about a case where you go to the non-Jew and say, essentially, I want to rent this field from you next year, and I want it to be a plowed field. Essentially, that's what's happening now. And therefore, even though you might encourage them to plow, nevertheless, you're allowed to do so because they're not Jewish. They're allowed to plow during Shemitah. So that's the law in this Mishnah, but that's not what I want to focus on. Avalom Yisrael, you can't do that from a Jew. You cannot rent a plowed field from a Jew who is just not keeping Shemitah, because that will encourage them to plow during Shemitah. And again, as we said, you cannot encourage sinful behavior. You are allowed to support the hands of non-Jews or idolaters during the Shemitah year, and we'll have to define what supporting means. Avaloi de Israel, you are not allowed to support the hands of Jews during Shemitah. Bishoalin Bishloman, and you can ask their peace, greet them with shalom, quote unquote, mifnei darkei shalom, in order to keep the peace. Okay. There is one unidentified pronoun in this Mishnah. It says, Shoalin Bishloman. You can greet them with peace. Who is them? Who are you allowed to greet? Does this refer to the previous statement of the fact that you're not allowed to support Jewish people who are violating Shemitah during Shviyas, such that nevertheless you are allowed to greet them? Or are we saying you are allowed to greet the non-Jews during Shemitah with shalom? So this is the relates to the discussion in the Yerushalmi, which follows in source number one, which tries to understand what this notion of supporting non-Jews during Shemitah means. In what way do you support them? So the Gemara gives two different answers. Says the Gemara in source number one, Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Imi. We have Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Imi. Chad Amar, Harish Ba Tabaot. Ba'ana Nasiv Liminach Ba'atar Shmitza. Opinion number one, you see a non-Jew plowing their field during Shemitah, you say, do a good job, go ahead and plow away. And after Shemitah, I'm going to pay you for it. So that's the first opinion. That's machazikim. You can verbally give them support. Okay, opinion number two, v'charna amar, the other said, and the punctuation according to the nefesh is ishar. You know, be straightened. And if you look carefully, the word ishar, or maybe ayasher, what does that sound like? Sounds like yasher kochacha, you know, be mayor strength, be straightened. And if you're interested, the Ali Tamar has a whole exposition on this line in the Yerushalmi about the origins of the term yasher kochacha. But according to the second opinion of the Yerushalmi, you don't tell them or allude that they should plow, rather you say, good job, you know, atzlacha, great, I hope you're successful in your endeavor to plow. So that's the first statement in the Mishnah. The word machazikin yedeakum, we have two opinions about what that means. But what about shoalin bishloman? What does that mean? Continues the Gemara. Manda amar charash batabot, according to the opinion which says, you can go ahead and plow, you know, plow well, and I'll pay you after Shemitah. What then does the next clause mean? Sholim bishloman, ayasher, or ishar. It means yashakoach, you know, be straightened. Manda amar ayasher, ishar. But according to the opinion that says that mahazikin means ishar, mahu sholim bishloman, then what is sholim bishloman? It can't be ishar. You already said that. Bishalom Yisrael, shalom aleichem. It means the peace of a Jew, or with the peace of a Jew, shalom aleichem, peace unto you. That's what it means, shalom bishloman. Now, at this point, I would argue there's a bit of ambiguity as to who this is refers to. Who is this addressed to when you say Ishar or Shalom Aleichem? Is it referring to a Jew or a non-Jew? However, the next story in the Gemara, which has a different perspective on this, I think does shed light in this regard. And this is a little agadah. It says the Gemara, Doma, there was a story. Rabbi Chinna bar Papa, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Avra Nacha, Mechor Shei Shvius. Rabbi Chinna bar Papa and Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman were passing by, and it was our story. They saw someone plowing during Shemitah. Plowing during Shemitah is a no-no. You are not allowed to plow if you are Jewish during Shemitah. It's a deraita derabanan, but this is what they saw someone doing. So how do you respond? So Amar Leih Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Yishar. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman goes up to him and says, Yishar, may you be strengthened or straightened. You know, Yashar Kalayach. So that was surprising. So Amar Leih Rav Chinna Bar Papa. Rav Chinna Bar Papa says, what's going on? Lo kein olfin Rebbe, didn't Rebbe teach us? And he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, which is actually geared toward insulting or David HaMelech is expressing his frustration with the way Jews have been treated. And in this pasuk, it says, "V'lo omre ovrim." The passerbyers will not say, "Mikan sha'aser lomar l'chorshei shvi'i yishar." Don't we learn from this pasuk? Don't say shalom. Don't say to those who are violating Shemitah, "Yishar, yashar koach." That's not what you're supposed to do. Amar lei likros atiyodeya, likros atiyodeya. He says, "Okay, you read the pasuk. Good. I'm happy for you that you were able to translate the pasuk. But you don't know how to make a drasha. You don't know how to expound upon it." The lo amra ovrim, and the passerbyers, quote unquote, won't say, "Elu ovde kochavim." This refers to idolaters. Shehen ovrin mina olam. They pass by this world. The lo amra Yisrael, these idolaters won't say to the Jews, "Berchas Hashem aleichem." They don't tell the Jews, "May the blessing of God be upon you." My Yisrael omrim, "Berachnu ischem b'shem Hashem." The Jews say, "You should bless us in the name of God." Not only all the blessings of God in this world are in our merit, and you don't even tell us, "Come and take your blessings." Right? Not only that, but you even make us pay for those blessings. Okay, so that was sort of the exchange about saying shalom to this person plowing during Shavuos. However, the question remains, what does Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman do with this Mishnah? How could he say Ishar to the person who is plowing during Shavuos? Isn't that against halacha? So, it would seem, if you look at the two different options, what are our options? There's two opinions as to what Shalom Bishloman means. One of the opinions is it means Ishar. Yashar koach. Apparently, that was understood as a response not to non-Jews, but to Jews. That, according to the one opinion in the Gemara, you are allowed to say Ishar to a Jew who is Hashud al Hashviyat. You can even give them a Yashar koach. And that is the opinion of that Rosh Hashanah Rahman was following. So, if you take a look at the little chart I have here, sort of graphing out these opinions, we have one opinion which says in the Mishnah that you can say charosh bat haba'ot to not the Akam. You can tell them to encourage them to plow. But regarding Yisrael machashudim, Jews who are suspect of not keeping or violating Shemitah, them you say Ishar. To them you say Yashar Koach. That's the first opinion. And the second opinion is that you say to the non-Jew Ishar, you give him Yashar Koach, and you say to the Jew Shalom Aleichem. That's what we have until now. So we have an argument as to what you're allowed to say to this person you pass by and you see them violating Shabbat. One opinion even says you could give them a Yashar Koach. One says you say Shalom Aleichem. That is the Yerushalmi. However, we also have the Bavli. In Gittin, the Bavli gives you a very different impression. Says the Gemara in source number 6, in Gittin, Sampit Ben Amin Aleph. Says Gemara, Machazikin de Yakim Bishviyat. Machazikin, really? You support them? Vamrav Dini Bar Shishma, Mishmei Durad, Ein Ojin Ma'akim Bishviyat. The Reb Dimi said the name of Rav, you cannot plow with non-Jews during Shemitah. V'ein koflin shalom ha'vikachavim. You don't double the expression of peace to non-Jews. So what does it mean, Machazikin? You're not allowed to plow with them. Lo tricha l'memra lehu achzuku ba'al. No, it doesn't mean you can plow with them. It means you could say, achazoku, chazak, be strong in your plowing. And here, the Eli Tamar again has another exposition on the origin of saying chazak, v'nit chazek after we finish the parsha. It also relates to this term of achazoku, be strong. So, but the point is, you don't actually plow with them. You tell them achazoku. Okay. Rav Yehuda Amar Lu Achazoku. Rav Yehuda used to say Achazoku. Rav Shesha Amar Lu Asharta. Rav Shesha used to say Asharta. That sounds like Ishar. You know, be straightened. Okay. Parenthetically, it's kind of interesting. The Farshim or the Derech Hamuda points out that these people were in Bavel. So, like, what do we mean when we're telling people not to? They're congratulating non-Jews for plowing during Shemitah. There was no Shemitah in Bavel. So that's like a whole discussion there as to maybe it refers to on Shabbos. Either way, that's what machzik means. Verbally encouraging them, saying, go ahead, plow, that's great. Bisholom bisholomon. Here's the focus. What does sholom bisholomon mean? Hashta achazuki machazgin, shlomim bisholomon mi. If we can even say chazak, certainly we can say shalom, says the Gemara. Amarav Yeva lo nitzracha elali yom chagan. What are we talking about? This refers to on the day of their holiday. Detanya lo yikanes adam leveto sholei kachavim biyom chago v'yitein lo shalom. A person should not enter the house of an idolater on the day of their holiday and give them shalom. Matzo b'shuk natan lo b'sapa rachav akovid rosh. If you find them in the marketplace and you encounter someone on their holiday who is an idolater, you give them shalom with safarafa, sort of like the, you know, in a sad, low voice. According to the Yerushalmi, who does shalom bishlomon refer to? Who are we saying shalom to in the Mishnah? Two choices, the Jew or the non-Jew?
Wait, the Jew.
Not according to Yerushalmi. According to the Bavli, I made a mistake there, thank you. According to the Bavli, who you're saying it to? The non-Jew. Everything refers to the non-Jew. There is no reference to saying shalom to the Jew who violates Shemitah, according to the Yerushalmi. So this creates, we have sort of two different interpretations in two regard, by the way, in two aspects. In terms of how they interpret Machazikin, the Yerushalmi has this notion of telling them to plow and telling them you're going to pay them. Bavli does not, and also Sholem Bishlomon. Does that refer to the Jew, the non-Jew? According to the Bavli, it refers to the Jew. According to the Yerushalmi, it refers to the non-Jew. Now, this is going to have practical ramifications. Take a look at sources number 3 and 4. The Adin Nefesh explains the Yerushalmi, as we did, that when it says Sholem Bishlomon, Imroa Yisrael Choresh Bishviyit, Afa Pisha Over Avera, Omer lo shalom aleichem nidarkei shalom. If you see a Jew plowing during Shemitah, even though they're violating a sin, you still say shalom aleichem mipnei darkei shalom. However, the Rosh points out in source number 4 that in the Bavli does not explain the Mishnah that way. Rather, it explains otherwise. It explains that the shalom is to the non-Jew. B'yom Edama, the other holiday. And if you look at source number 6 and 7, the Tiferes Yisrael and the Shiari Karban both understand that this is an argument. There's an argument between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi whether or not you're allowed to greet someone in the middle of an Avera with Shalom Aleichem, and the Bavli paskins that you are not allowed to. This is the point of dispute between the two Gemaras, and you're not allowed to. That's what it sounds like the Tiferes Yisrael paskins in source number 7. So on the one hand, so we have this machlokes, and maybe the Bavli does not allow this. Further, if you look in source number 5, the Rosh Cirillo, commenting on the Mishnah in Shviyis, explains that Shalom Aleichem refers to Shalom Yisrael, to the Jew that is not keeping Shemitah, but he adds, look at the bold, V'hainu Shalom B'Sha'at Avera. This doesn't refer to when they're actually in the Avera. You can say Shalom Aleichem generally to someone who keeps Shemitah, but you can't do it while they're actually plowing. So you have a great difference here in terms of the Mefarshim. You had, on the one hand, the Yerushalmi in the story where we can even allow Ayasher or Ishar to a person that's violating Shemitah. And on the flip side, you have those who learn the Bavli this way, and the Rosh Cirillo even learns the Mishnah this way, that you can't even say shalom to them. So how do we deal with this? Now, there is another just interesting factor here, which we'll reference briefly, which is Tosfos. Tosfos understood the Gemara differently. Take a look at source number 8. Tosfos here is focused on saying shalom aleichem to a non-Jew. Shalom Aleichem is actually a more formal greeting than other types of greetings. Shalom Aleichem includes the name of God, because Shalom might be a name of God, and it's specifically a uniquely Jewish greeting. And therefore, the Tosfos wonders as follows. You saw me in source number 8. Okay, quotes your Sami. Masma, the Kule Almale Akum Asar Lomar Shalom Alecha, who the Lo Kasha Shalom, who the Lo Asmino Vikachavim Elek Vila Shalom, says Tosfos. There's another thing that Bavli and Yerushalmi argue about, and that is whether you can say Shalom Aleichem to an Akum, to an idolater. That according to the Bavli, you can't be Koflin Shalom, you can't be give this double greeting, but according to Yerushalmi, you cannot. Now, the way that Tosfos understand this Gemara, it's a much different sort of hierarchy. To Tosfos, Shalom Aleichem is actually more of a Chiddush than saying Ayashem. Shalom Aleichem is the thing you can't say to a non-Jew. Ishar, you can say. But it's a totally different emphasis, and it doesn't relate specifically to saying Shalom Aleichem to a Jew. In fact, in source number 9, the Pei Moshe and Gideon understands that actually this is an argument between the two Shitos. That according to one Shita in the Gemara, you can't say Shalom Aleichem to a non-Jew. And that's why Shalom Ayasher, they say Ayasher instead. Whereas, according to the other opinion, you can. But it seems that both opinions think you can say Shalom Aleichem to a Jew, at least in the Yerushalmi. So this brings us to the end of the Gemara, in which we'll end with the Alei Tamar. Alei Tamar, it comments on the second half of the Gemara, and the question is, and why would you be allowed to give a Yasher, Yasher Kol, to someone violating an Avera? How can you encourage them? And he writes as follows in source number 10. Amr Leir Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman Yasher. Daiter Shmuel Namu, Daiter Shmuel Rebbe Rav Zera Bar Yerushalmi Tanis, Resh Perek Gimel. He's following Rebbe and Rav Zera and Yerushalmi Tanis. Shachashunim Ashvis is Manajesh Hemed Rabbanon. Hamorim Hetzelat, Smaam Beklal Kovada Parnasa Lo Amisim. Enem Yechol Amo Ben Yisayo. And those who are suspect of not keeping Shemitah nowadays, when they're Rabbanon and it's difficult, and they have to struggle with making a living and paying taxes and the like, and it's hard for them to fulfill that test. You shouldn't see them as sinners. It's difficult to keep Shemitah. It's hard. No, in this Dibra Masva, I don't think he's saying they're allowed to violate it. They're not allowed to violate it. But you can understand why they are. It's difficult. It's hard. And therefore, you shouldn't see them as sinners. And therefore, you can bless them. You could even daven for rain for them during Shemitah, says Yerushalmi and Tanis, so that they can be successful. And he quotes Sanhedrin, which is the heter of Arnona, where the rabbis saw someone plowing during Shemitah. We read this a number of weeks ago. And one of them said, how could he do this? Say something. And they said, well, maybe he's doing it to pay the difficult taxes that are levied upon Jewish farmers. And that was the argument. He was trying to be malam mitzachus, salmakaschus. Maybe it's difficult for them. Maybe they have a heter. It's too hard. They need it for parnasa. So, he says a similar thing in source number 11. So the Alei Tamar suggests that maybe there is a leniency. It's not just because they're not sinners because they don't keep, Shemitah. We can find the Zechus because it's very difficult for them to do so. So you have a certain leniency there, and it's a different perspective that we shouldn't view sinners, just at face value. Oh, they're sinning. That's bad. No saying Shalom Aleichem. Rather, there may be a way to look for a Zechus. So practically, look in source number 12, the Magen Avraham writes as follows: Derech Eretz Lomer La Adam Shosik B'Malacha Titzlach Malachtecha. Number one, let's get this right. Let's get this straight, though. If in general you should say Hatzlach Malachtecha, if they're not violating anything, if you see someone walking by, they're doing work, give them Hatzlacha. That's the appropriate thing to do. Vafila Akum, and even to someone who's not Jewish. Avamisha Osik B'Malachas Isser Aser Lomer Lo Kach. However, somebody who's involved in Avera, you cannot wish them Hatzlacha, Magen Avraham Paskins. So practically, you probably should avoid saying Hatzlacha, but I would imagine that one thing that would be okay to say, regardless of your opinion, is you could say Good Shabbos. Maybe tell someone's violating Shabbos, say Good Shabbos. That's a greeting, and if anything, it will remind them that it's Shabbos and that that's something that's important. So anyways, regarding greeting people who do averas, it's something that there's a double consideration. On the one hand, we have to be wary of participating or encouraging sinful behavior, but we can also don the kafs list that people mostly don't mean to sin out of spite. And we should find ways, if we can, to encourage the peace. I just want to, I'll end the recording here.